The rest of you would go ahead and take your Bibles out, please. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start there and then move to Ephesians 4. We will be turning to several different passages tonight. We're continuing our study in spiritual giftedness. The series is Gifted to Serve. Understanding spiritual gifts, applying them correctly, and now we're going to begin unwrapping them tonight. That's what we really like doing, right? We don't just like looking at gifts, we like unwrapping them. In fact, sometimes it's interesting. You can tell a lot about people's personality by the way that they unwrap gifts. Some of them just dive in and shred everything. Some people try to save the wrapping paper. In my house, we have some trolls. And they enjoy unwrapping gifts slowly to torment their brothers and sisters. So that's usually what happens at Christmas. Okay? And we actually have some that purposefully unwrap slowly because so that the other ones will have to wait while they... Stop it. Just get into the gift. All right? Enough already. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a passage that discusses and gives perspective. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant." And our goal is to study what the Word of God says about spiritual giftedness. Look at verse 4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but is the same God that worketh all in all." And so God wants to use each one of us. We come to God with a personality that He created. And when you get saved, God's Holy Spirit indwells you and gives you an ability corresponding to your role in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the analogy, and it means that the body has different members. Just like your body, so too the church does. And those roles are to be filled by church members. And God gifts us, preparing us for the local body that He will call us to. And I think that's why it's important why we need to get plugged into a body once we're saved. Now, a spiritual gift is not a talent. It is not a human ability. You had those at birth. Those are in the flesh, okay? And they're not wrong. Many of us have talents, but they are not spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. And these spiritual gifts, we had a warning last week, they're to be used in humility. We did not deserve this. This was given to us by God. We did not earn it. And no gift is more important than the others. In fact, here in the passage, it talks about how that all of them are important. Look at verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." So wherever you're gifted, it pleases God when you use it. And it's up to Him. "And if all were one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Your body, you don't treat the members of your body that way. Nobody wants an amputation. In fact, that's bad news when that comes and you have a disease that requires a part of the body to be amputated. All of your body parts are necessary. Evolutionary theory is that we evolved from, you know, single-celled organisms over time, and that there are these leftovers, these spare parts in your body. They call them vestigial organs. You really don't need them. Let's get rid of them. Sorry, friend, but that's not the case. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, so too is the church. And that's the analogy here. The church is important, and every spiritual gift, every person is. So we must have humility and use them in wisdom. Now, let's go ahead and take the next step. Let's unwrap some of them. So I'll ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The first division of spiritual gifts that we'll begin to look at are those of public ministry. Now, I've broken them up into divisions, and I handed out a sheet earlier. I was going to hand it out again tonight, but our printer jammed, and I don't have the spiritual gift of printer maintenance. I'm just kidding. That's not a spiritual gift. Okay. But I couldn't get it fixed. So I'll get it fixed for next week, and we'll have that sheet again for next week. And it shows it's a spiritual gifts quick list. Just organizing them. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of five spiritual gifts. We're going to look at two of them tonight, and I think it's important. Hopefully this will help clear up some things that's a difference in our doctrine from some other churches, okay? There are churches that we refer to as charismatic churches. I don't know if you've heard of that, the charismatic doctrine. And some people use that in a very negative way. The word charismatic comes from the word charis or charisma, which just means gifts. Charismatic churches tend to believe that certain spiritual gifts, the sign gifts and miracles and working of miracles, are still active today. They believe that some of the things that we teach tonight, you're going to see a difference between what we believe the Bible says and what some of the charismatic churches teach. And that's where independent Baptist doctrine is a little bit different. But I'll be showing you from Scripture. These five gifts in Ephesians 4 are for public leadership. Some are active today, some are not. But they all existed for the same purpose. Look down at verse 12. It says, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He ascended up on high. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Jesus Christ descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended. When Christ rose from the dead, it was him, okay? He didn't raise in spirit, but not in body. He arose completely. And he ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Well, when he gave gifts to men, that's what it says back in verse 8, these are the gifts that he gave, verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Five spiritual gifts here. All of them are for this purpose, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is all of them, what all of them were for, not for personal gain or recognition. So let's take a look at that first one, the apostle. What is an apostle? Okay, there's some misconceptions about that. We're going to kind of develop that through Scripture. The word apostle means one who is sent. That's literally what it means. And it's a special gift of the Holy Spirit given by Jesus Christ personally to establish the church. In fact, the Scripture verse, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, we were just there. It says, God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And so the apostles were set and appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the word here. There's actually requirements for the apostles. Turn over to Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Now, this was after Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and committed suicide. And the apostles were seeking to appoint another apostle to fill his spot. Okay. They say, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Okay, so in Scripture, he mentions the 12, but you do understand that it wasn't just the 12 who were following Christ. There were groups that were following Christ. Christ sent them out several different times. Sometimes the 12, sometimes a group of 20, a group of 70. There were other people around who were following him, but he had the inner 12, and then within the 12, he had the inner circle, the three. Well, these apostles are seeking to find a replacement for Judas and requirements. One who is sent as an apostle needed to have seen Christ on earth and able to testify of his resurrection. And you say, well, what about the apostle Paul? Well, that's interesting. Listen to this scripture verse. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Well, he didn't see him in his earthly ministry. When did he see him? On the road. Yeah, exactly. The Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So he did see the Lord. Are these batteries going dead? Okay. No, something's going on with this. If you have to switch over to the pulpit mic, do it. The requirements were that they had seen Christ on earth. In fact, these men were chosen by Christ. They were not sent of the church. The apostles were not people that the church said, "Oh, you're an apostle. You're one who's sent. We're going to send you." Okay, that's a missionary. They were sent of God, eyewitnesses of Christ and His resurrection. Turn over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 6. The apostles were sent of God and chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Witnesses to the ministry of Christ and the resurrection. The resurrected Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. You can look at verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, disciplined ones, those who he was training. And of them he chose 12. See, there were other guys around. He chose 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So these are men that were chosen by Christ to be apostles. Now what about the apostle Paul? No. Paul says in Galatians 1:1, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So though the apostle Paul was not in this original group, he was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul testifies to that. And these were the ones that were chosen, had witnessed, and were chosen by Christ. And they had the power of working miracles. Acts chapter 2 speaks about this. I'm going to have you turn to Acts 5, if you wouldn't mind doing that. But listen to this passage in Acts 2. It says in Acts 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We talked about that this morning. We were talking about the organization of the local church in Jerusalem, how that they had, you know, clearly defined membership. They were building the church there and divvying out responsibilities. They continued worshiping God. But the next verse says this: fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, you're there in Acts chapter 5. Notice what the scripture says. Look down at verse 12. This was after another momentous occasion when God smote Ananias and Sapphira for lying to him. It says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And so God gave these men whom he had called and given a specific responsibility. They were sent by God to found the local church. They were set first. He gave them the sign gifts. 2 Corinthians puts it this way. Paul says, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. Though I be nothing, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience, in signs and wonders, and in mighty deeds. And these sign gifts given to the apostles, the ones sent who were witnessing Jesus Christ, specifically selected by him and given that gift, they validated the message that these men brought. They were from God. Now, why would you need somebody to have a sign gift? Why would you need somebody to have the ability to work miracles? Well, exactly. See, the word of God was not complete. And these guys were writing scripture. Well, that's a big deal. They're not coming with a preassembled message. They're not coming. You know, I'm a young man. I stand before you today, but I stand on this authority. Okay? This is complete. Well, the church is complete. Well, in their time, it was not. This was a time of transition between the Old Testament dispensation and the church age. And God was in the process of giving his revelation. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says this: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he spoke unto us by his Son through the apostles as they gave us his word. See, the church, the visible representative body of Christ, had not yet been formed. The rules for church leadership and how churches were to function, they weren't anchored down. And the church was a new creation of Jesus Christ. And so if somebody came in telling you how to organize, it's different from the Old Testament. They needed to have some way of validating the authority of God. And so they did miracles that only God could do. By the way, they were used to write the Word of God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Peter, and Paul. Now, there were apostles who did not write Scripture. But you know what's interesting? The last apostle to die, John. Okay, I was talking about it today. The last apostle to die, John. They couldn't kill him until he was done with his work. Okay, they tried to boil him in oil. They exiled him on the island of Patmos. He wrote the last book in the Bible. And when the last apostle died, and the last book of the Bible was written, you know what it says? Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. The sign gifts were the gifts of the apostles. When the last apostle alive wrote the last book in the Bible, he says this. Look at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. The word angel is messenger. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And it's done. There's a warning to add to God's word. The last man that was an apostle passed away. See, these men were primarily used of God to establish the church. They had authority from on high. Ephesians puts it this way. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to turn over there. I thought that I had copied it. Listen to what the scripture says here. Therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Talking about the church, he says, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, if they were used to write Scripture, let me ask you a question. Is Scripture complete? Yes, it is. They were used to found the local church. Is the church complete? Is it been formed? Yes, it has. And so this gift of the apostle was given, actually it was interesting because it was given to 14 men in all. Say, really? Yeah. It was given to the original 12. We saw that in Luke. It's also written in Matthew chapter 10. It was also given to Matthias. Now, this is kind of interesting. I really want to highlight this. Look over at Acts chapter 1. And this might come up. I don't know if you've ever thought of this before. Acts is a transitional book. I don't know, anybody here ever done remodeling in your home? Yeah, all the laughs. Of course you have. And all the ladies said, yeah, we don't want to do it again. Because we men take forever to do it. Unless you hire somebody and they get it done quickly and efficiently. When you remodel and you're in a period of transition, is life as you know it, is it normal in your home? No. Things get shifted around and you're in a transition. During transitions, sometimes norms are set aside until the transition is complete and new normals are established. The book of Acts describes the transition between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it's descriptive, it's not prescriptive. In other words, there are things in the book of Acts where the Bible is describing what took place while God was setting up his creation, the local church. And the book of Acts details that. This is one of those instances. In chapter 1, verse 21, these men called together and they said, we got to get a new apostle to replace Judas. And they appointed two. Look at verse 23. They appointed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justus. Good man there. And Matthias. All right. So they had requirements and they prayed. But then they weren't really sure because they had two guys. They prayed and said, Lord, which thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. God, show us that he may take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they went forth and they gave forth their lots. They cast lots. Now, we're not going to do this in the next business meeting to determine a decision for the church. We're not going to be casting lots. But they did. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Sometimes people will look at that and they'll say, what in the world? They cast lots? Yeah. See, Acts is describing what took place. God was transitioning the Holy Spirit and how he moved through the Word of God. Once the transition was complete, they behaved differently. They set up procedures for the church. We don't cast lots in our church, okay? But it's interesting. Listen to this scripture from Proverbs. The Bible says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. See, in the Old Testament, they were used to doing things. They had the Urim and the Thummim. Don't know if you've heard of that. And the priests would determine the will of God. The Word of God was not complete. And so they would determine the will of God through this mechanism called the Urim and the Thummim. What is that, Pastor? I really don't know. Okay? I'm not sure. But I know that they used this and that God directed, and he directed here to select this man. They did so by faith. And by the way, God never rebukes them. Matthias was one. Paul the Apostle was one. In fact, Hebrews 3 says that Jesus is the Apostle. It says, consider the Apostle and High Priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Apostle is one who is sent. And these had the gifts, these the sign gifts, they set up the local church, establishing the church. Since the church has been started, the Word of God is complete, and no one alive today witnessed the earthly ministry and resurrection of Jesus Christ, friend, the gift of the apostle is no longer in use. It has ceased. There is no one alive today who meets the qualifications. So when you see somebody who claims to be an apostle and they'll use that as a title, just be careful. We shouldn't be super critical of people, but recognize in your mind they're probably using the term different than we do. The gift of the apostle is not alive today. In fact, it ceased with the death of John. There are no apostles alive today. That's the first one. So we look at the gift of the apostle, but the Bible says he set secondarily prophets. Prophets. What is a prophet? A prophet is a special gift of revelation from God. And it was for the purpose of delivering God's word unto people until the written word of God was complete. Now, there's two different types of prophets. There were prophets in the Old Testament and prophets in the New Testament. There's a slight difference. There's a slight difference there. In the Old Testament, the prophet took the message of God to people, and it was usually twofold. Now, sometimes we'll think of prophets, and we only think of the one we say, well, if he's a prophet, he should be able to tell the future. Well, that was actually only part of what they did. Most of the time, when a prophet came to the people, he was not telling the future. He was telling them God's message for them. In fact, the phrase, thus saith the Lord, occurs 413 times in the Old Testament. And those who are speaking on God's behalf would take God's message and bring it to the people. Now, they would tell the future sometimes, and they did so, once again, to validate the message, like Brother Spangler was saying earlier. They would bring them, they would tell the future, foretelling judgment for sin most of the time. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. So we see some people that claim to be apostles today recognize that the New Testament gift of apostleship, it's not active today. No one's writing scripture, all right? They shouldn't be. Add thou not to my words, lest Lord reprove thee and thou be counted a liar. Don't do that. It's dangerous. The church has been founded. The gift is complete. When we come to the gift of the prophet, there's some interesting qualifications here. Look at verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or he that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Those are all means of trying to figure out the future, gather direction apart from God. Now, folks, we are to rely on God alone, okay? And things like horoscopes, things like palm readers, these fortune tellers, listen, number one, most of them are nothing but charlatans. Number two, if they can actually tell the future, that's satanic. Stay away from it. It's wicked. And the Word of God condemns that. It says you're not supposed to be involved with that. For all these things, verse 12, all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Why did God let Israel come in and wipe out the Canaanites? Because they worshipped the devil. Okay? He was judging them. By the way, the Canaanites were descendants of Canaan, the cursed grandson of Noah. And so they followed in the same rebellious pattern that he did. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee. So how are they going to know what to do? Well, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. The prophets function was to represent God to the people. And they would go to the prophet, and the prophet would bring a message from the Lord. They didn't have the written word of God. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, thou hast well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he hath spoken my name, I will require it of him. Okay? You'll be accountable for it. But look at this. The prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall, what's that word? Die. That's a pretty significant test. So how are we going to know? Well, here it is, telling the future. If thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know? See, I read that verse first. How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. In fact, later on, they were to kill the person, okay? That was judgment. 100% accuracy was the test for the Old Testament prophet. Sometimes they would work miracles, and they were the prophets that performed the miracles, and it gave validation to their message. In the New Testament, the prophet, the spirit of the prophet, would take the message of God to the church. The word of God was still being written. And the spiritual gift of the prophet, remember, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says is for the edification of the church. Something else that's interesting is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says the gift of prophecy was subordinate to the apostles. He set first in the church the apostles, then the prophets. And so they would come in, start the church, give the word of God. The prophet would deliver the word of God and continue the work there. And their revelation from God was key until the word of God was complete, since they provided edification and direction. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. So as we talk about these, you can begin to see sometimes within churches, somebody will say, I have a word of prophecy, something God has revealed to me. Well, if they don't immediately begin to quote scripture, be careful. because God's word is complete. Be very careful. See, Scripture is where it's at now. God has delivered His entire word. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 5. It says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promises in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. So he talks about how that the message which established the church was given to him an apostle and through the prophets. The characteristics of this gift then, friend, they're temporary in nature. The prophets always delivered the word of God. And when the word of God was complete, God's message to man is complete. Turn over, you're there in Ephesians, look over at 1 Corinthians 13. This is a critical passage. First Corinthians 13, verse 8. The subject about spiritual giftedness is in chapter 12. In chapter 13, he talks about the manner in which we conduct our spiritual gifts, and that is through charity. And he makes this statement. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we know in part. Well, they knew in part because the word of God was not complete. Now we prophesy in part. God gave them bits and pieces and sundry times, divers manners. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. God gave His word to the prophets. But when God's word is complete, the function of the prophet is no longer to receive new messages from God. In fact, the first gift that God speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says he set firstly apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. We don't look for new messages from God outside of Scripture. We come together to study the delivered, once delivered Scripture to us. Proverbs chapter 30 puts it. It says in Proverbs 30, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. We need to study, memorize, and obey the message we have. The gift of the prophet was temporary in nature because it was delivering new revelation from God. And it was a controlled demonstration. You're there in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 14, look at verse 29. It was controlled. And you'll see how that this is different sometimes than what people say. They say, well, this person, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but there are churches where somebody will come under the Spirit and they will be out of control. And they'll begin to say things and jabber and make noise. Okay, that is, you do not find that in Scripture in the New Testament. Instead, look what it says here in verse 29. It says, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So it's one at a time, like when we testify here in church. You wouldn't have more than one guy preaching up front. You wouldn't have more than one person testifying at a time. It's to be decently in an order. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that we may all learn, and all may be comforted. Look at verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. See, God doesn't do anything that overrules your own will and possesses you and makes you lose control. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you gain control. You don't lose control. It doesn't fit the modern day prophecies where some people enter a mindless trance and do different things. And so it's a controlled demonstration in the New Testament. It was for a temporary purpose. And the accuracy of prediction had to be 100% or it's not from God. The purpose of the gift in Ephesians 4 was the edification of the church. So I believe the gift of the prophet has been replaced by the pastor and the teacher. We don't look forward to more Scripture. We're to be edified through the study of the Scripture we have. It was a special gift of revelation from God for the purpose of preaching and exhorting the church until the Word of God is complete. And after that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away because it's been delivered. Now, these first two gifts were used in ways that are no longer in existence, I believe. And the following three are alive today. It says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in Ephesians chapter 4. They are, and they're very common. They're mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's the last passage I'm going to have you turn to. You're there in 14. Look over at chapter 12, verse 28. This is the reference that I keep referring to. The gifts of public ministry. God had set some in the church, first apostles. We discussed that. Very key role. And I thank the Lord for using these men and for giving His Word completely to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's Word was given perfectly and it's preserved perfectly. And I believe that tonight. I'm thankful for the apostles. Thankful for what God did through them. But then He used the prophets. But notice what it says in verse 28. First apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly, teachers. That's where we're at today. The Word of God has been given. We are now to be taught it, edifying others through verbal communication of the Word of God. Friend, as we study the spiritual gifts, as we unwrap these, there's going to be some things that you see that are different. Now, I know you probably have friends. You see things on television. My goodness, the stuff you see on television, religious programming, it gets out of control sometimes. And so be careful. Be careful. Measure it through the grid of God's Word. And God's Word is what we can trust. And I'm thankful for these spiritual gifts that God used, but I'm thankful that there are some that we'll unwrap later on. Nobody here has the gift of the apostle or the prophet, but there are many that you guys do have. And I thank the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your Word tonight. And I pray that You would teach us from Your Word. Help us, God, to understand. Please use me. And I pray, Lord, that these lessons on spiritual giftedness would do what You intend them to, that Your Word would not return void, that You would zero in on our lives, emphasize what we need. Help us, dear Lord, to be edified, to be activated, to serve You with our heart. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to your heart about something specific, talk to the Lord during our invitation.